Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Part one of The Story of David.
Abandoned by God. He is no longer king. Samuel anointed you in God's name.
And still I do not wear the crown. And this man does.
He defies God by wearing it.
Then God will deal with him.
Voices. Voices that seem to come from another world. The man sleeping on the ground in the darkness of a cave could hear them. His soldiers, 3,000 strong, were camped just outside the cave. But he had crept into the cave to be alone, to sleep undisturbed. But he could hear the voice of the man he most hated and feared. David, his rival, whom he had sworn to hunt down and kill.
Look at him. One thrust of your spear, and Saul would be dead. Let me do it, David, I beg you, let me kill him.
No. Let him be.
Strange that he should have come into this very cave where you were hiding from him. I call it God's will. He delivered Saul into your hands.
Perhaps God gave me a choice. We always have a choice. To do right in his sight. Or to do wrong. I think it would be wrong of me to kill Saul. But we can't stay here.
And if we leave, we'll be spotted.
Besides, it's dark, no moon. There are plenty of rocks. We may not even be noticed.
Well, we've got to chance it.
Yes, in just one second.
You've changed your mind? You're going to kill him?
No.
But the sword.
I want to cut off a piece of his robe.
For a souvenir to remember him by?
No, to show him we could have killed him. And that we spared him.
How will he know it was you?
He'll know. In good time.
The voice again. It echoed from the hills that overlooked King Saul's camp.
Saul! Saul, my lord king! I beg to talk with you.
Saul was awake now. Dawn crept across the wilderness, and the king's soldiers had awakened, and they too listened to the voice.
I beg to talk with you.
David. David, show thyself. I am Saul, the king. Now show yourself and speak.
Up here, my lord. Almost above your head.
David, come before me.
My lord king, forgive me for what I did to you last night.
Last night? What does he mean?
I don't know.
What happened last night, David?
I stood over you, a sword in my hand while you slept unguarded. I could have slain you.
Liar!
Look to your robe, my lord. You'll see where I cut a piece of it off, at the hem.
And is this he says?
It's true, my lord. Your robe has been cut. He could have killed you.
He did this while I slept. David, David, whom I once loved.
My lord, I spared your life. I'm not your enemy to be hunted day and night. You must see that now. Let me go in peace.
Let me take some men and circle around the hill.
No, let him go. I will stop hunting him. David, hear me. For the sake of the love I once bore you, go your way in peace. But stay away from me and from our people.
Saul the king, the first of Israel's kings, anointed by the prophet Samuel, stood there with a heavy heart. Beautiful to look upon, tall, handsome, strong. God had chosen him to be king because he had possessed all the qualities a king should have. Nobility, courage, a sense of justice, and a love of God. But that had been a long time ago, and Saul had turned from God. And he knew, as most knew, that God had chosen David to take his place.
My lord, it was a mistake not to let me follow David and do away with him.
I loved him once as one of my own son.
And still you would kill him, as you almost killed your son Jonathan because he's David's friend.
Someday, when you remind me of certain things, I will run my spear through your heart.
Then let me remind you of something else, my lord. You did treat him as a son when he came into your house with the slyness of a jackal, playing his harp for you when you needed soothing, pretending to be a loyal subject, and all the time he was plotting to take your place as king.
That is true enough.
You made him your armor-bearer, taught him to be a good soldier, provided him with chances to win battles. In your goodness to him, you let him win broad popularity among our people, and now many hundreds of them are ready to join him against you.
Still, he could have killed me last night.
No, my lord. He feared to offend God by laying a hand on your anointed head.
I had not thought of that. You may be right. It was fear that caused him to spare me, not mercy, nor his devotion to me.
My lord, you have been far too generous.
I am not what I used to be. I do not think or reason too clearly. Maybe I was a fool to let him get away.
But he can't be too far away.
He knows these hills better than the fox.
Still, he can't be so far away. Let me go after him.
Spend a day and a night looking for him. Take 100 men. I do not want to see him brought here alive. Bring his head to me.
Meantime, those who served David gathered news for him. Up in the hills where he and his men were camped, the news that filtered across the desert below was sad.
David.
Welcome back. You've been away a long time.
Yes. And seen and heard many things. The prophet Samuel is dead.
Dead?
Over a month ago, they say.
Do the people mourn?
All over the land.
I wish I could have been with him at the end.
He spoke of you.
Did he? You know this?
They say he promised once again that you would be king and would reign over Israel.
We shall mourn, too. Call everyone here and we'll pray for his soul. Now, leave me for a while. I feel his loss to us very deeply.
We'll talk later. I have other things to tell you. I will talk now, David.
Yes, I'm listening.
Saul is at Mount Gilboa. His sons have joined him there.
Jonathan, too?
Even Jonathan. Saul is in trouble.
The Arabs?
Yes. The Philistines are massing a large army. Part of it is already on the march. I saw it.
Saul must be warned.
He knows. I spotted one of his scouting parties watching the Arabs.
Then he'll be prepared, at least.
He has other troubles.
Hmm?
A lot of his men have deserted. And most of the ones who stay with him, well, they don't fight as well as they used to.
Why not?
They've lost confidence in Saul. They're not sure he's their king. They wonder if you are. They're confused.
I tell you now, I will kill any one of Saul's men who deserts him at this time. If that man or any like him fall into my hands.
Just one more thing, David. Saul wants you dead.
That can't be true.
And still it is.
But he assured me.
He's changed his mind.
I see. And yet we should offer to help him.
But David...
I know what you're going to say.
Then let me say it. The help we could give would not change anything. And you might be killed. And Saul may be killed. Our people would have no one to turn to if anything happened to you.
If only I knew what God wanted me to do. If he would only give me a sign.
He has given you one. He has spared you from Saul all these years you've been hunted. Isn't that all the sign you need?
Perhaps you're right. But I'd like to go and take a look at Saul's position.
We can do that. But no more.
The same compassion David had always felt for Saul now drew him within sight of the man for whom he still had a curious affection. Again, he stood on the heights overlooking Saul's army camped in the foothills of Mount Gilboa.
Down there.
Is that the entire army?
Most of it.
Oh, he could use some help.
The only kind of help that could save him from the Arabs is God's help.
If we could convince him that I am not his enemy...
Stay away from him, David.
Look. Look, even from here you can see half the guards are asleep at their posts. Listen to me.
No, no, David, no.
Why not?
It'd be suicide.
No one would know us. In the night we'd pass for two of Saul's officers. We're dressed the same, and very few of his men know us by sight.
I tell you, it would be suicide.
I doubt it.
But for what purpose?
To convince Saul we mean him no harm.
He already knows that.
He is hard-pressed for men. He might relent, and we can help our people.
Well, you know very well, I'll go with you.
Then come.
A 100 small campfires dotted the wilderness. Horses and camels grazed wherever they could find scrub. A million stars flecked the night sky, and still it was dark. David and his friend walked slowly into the camp. The soldiers slept. The few who were awake paid no attention, mistaking David and his companion for other soldiers.
You have a lot of faith, David.
So must you have, or you wouldn't be here with me.
So, with our combined faith in God, we have nothing to fear. Is that it?
You put it very nicely. Look. Saul himself.
And sound asleep.
His guards are also sleeping. I'll go alone.
You know me better than to think I'd let you.
Then come.
This may be our last hour.
As God wills it.
That tent over there to your left. The flag.
Jonathan's. Keep walking.
I tell you, I'm nervous.
Don't show it. Nobody's taking any notice of us. Look. Saul himself.
Sound asleep.
A few more steps.
Then what?
His spear is there. Propped up near his head. I'll take it.
That's his water flask beside him. Suppose I take that.
All right, but be careful.
David, just one thing.
What is it?
If he awakens, or if the guards do,
The chance we knew we were taking.
But we'll be killed.
I know.
Then if anyone awakens, let's make sure we kill Saul.
We kill no one. Now come.
David.
Be quiet.
Let me strike him just once.
I told you no. Let the Lord God strike him in his own good time. He shall not die from my hands, nor from yours.
Then take his spear quickly, and let's get away from here.
Again, as once before, King Saul awoke and heard a voice calling from the heights above his camp.
Soldiers! Soldiers of Saul! Why don't you keep better watch over the king, over the anointed one of God? Look up here. See what I hold? A spear. I took it from the king while he slept, unguarded. Once more I could have killed him. Once more I spared his life. Saul, my lord king, can you hear me?
David. David, my son. David, the king humbles himself. I confess in the sight of God, I have sinned against God and against you. I have dishonored my word. This I confess. David, I swear I mean you no harm. Yet do not come before me. Instead, go your way. Go your way. In peace, my son.
And the Lord caused David to go his way and not linger. And King Saul brooded in his tent.
All my soldiers asleep. Not one awake to guard me.
Not all were asleep, my lord king. Some only pretended to be.
What kind of talk is that?
My lord, may I speak the truth?
If it will explain your remark.
Not all your men are loyal, my lord king. Many think David is the king. Perhaps some of these did see David come here. Perhaps they hoped he would kill you. Either that or...
Or what?
Or God caused us all to sleep heavily, so that David would not be seen and caught.
God has really turned against me. Is that it?
Have you forgotten?
Forgotten? How could Saul forget? It was a long time ago now. It was in the days of his crushing victories over the Ammonite tribe. The prophet Samuel had sent word to him not to march until he, Samuel, had joined him to offer a sacrifice. So Saul had waited for the arrival of the prophet. And waited and waited. Until many long days had passed.
Cannot wait any longer. I am a soldier. I have a battle to win. Cannot wait any longer for this priest.
My lord king, wait a little longer.
Why should I? I am the king. Why cannot I be the one to make a sacrifice to God?
Remember, my lord, you offered the sacrifice. And when the prophet did arrive, he was angry. He warned you had disobeyed God's law and that God would punish you by taking away your kingship.
The old fool did not know what he was talking about. I was the king.
But not a priest. Only a priest has the authority to offer the sacrifice.
Are you saying this old man, this priest, had greater authority than I?
You yourself knew it, my lord king, and you still know it. He was a priest. He spoke for God and was doing God's work. And you, my lord, did not and do not have priestly authority.
Get out! Get out!
You allowed me to express the truth. Don't condemn me for it.
I feel sick these days. Sick in body and in heart. I feel old. What do you think of our chances if the Philistines attack?
Our position is a good one.
There's no answer.
We are weak, my lord.
One Israelite soldier is worth four or five Philistine Arabs.
But
no.
The Philistines, my lord, are about 20-1 against us.
As many as that. So the answer is plain.
Unless A miracle occurs.
A miracle?
Unless God forgives you and then helps us.
He has abandoned me.
We cannot be too sure of that.
I'm sure of it. We will fight. We've always fought a good battle. This one will be no exception. If we die, we will die with glory, knowing every odd was against us, and that it took the Philistines 20 men to defeat one Israelite.
Brave words, my lord king.
But true, eh?
True indeed, my lord and friend.
Then one last feast. My soldiers will fight on full bellies. Tell the hunters to go out and bring in food, and tomorrow we will feast. Then we will die. Now leave me, I want to pray. Lord God Almighty, I have sinned against thee grievously. In return for the love you gave me, I turned to evil ways, disobeyed thee many times. Thou hast chosen in my place David, whom I loved, and who has loved me. If it now be thy will that I be slain in battle, thy will be done. Lord God, if together with my soldiers we could be certain this is thy battle we will be fighting, I could ask thee for thy blessing and for courage. But Lord, deep inside me, I wonder if this battle is to be thy punishment of me. Oh, Lord, thy will be done.
The dust from the desert rose in great clouds that told how great was the armies of the Philistine Arabs. The Israelites had defeated many tribes in the desert and had won many battles over the Philistines. But this warlike tribe had continued a war that had gone on for many years. And this was to be a final conflict. They were tens of thousands strong as they poured like an avalanche across the foothills of Gilboa and rolled over the first line of Israel's defense.
King, Jonathan, your son, with two of his brothers, has been killed, and the Philistines are coming this way even now.
Lord God, if this is thy punishment for me, let it be complete.